Welcome to another episode of Faith and Fitness Magazine. I'm Brad Bloom, your host. You know, when people think and talk about fitness, they usually think of either fitness for women or fitness for men. We like to bring focus and help you understand how to do family fitness, where children, youth, young adults, parents, and grandparents all exercise together. That's why I'm incredibly eager to share with you today a conversation with Daniel P. Huerta. Daniel is the Vice President of Parenting and Youth at Focus on the Family. He is a bilingual licensed clinical social worker who has counseled families for more than two decades. His passion is equipping parents to disciple and mentor the next generation so that they can thrive in Christ. Danny and his wife are the parents of two teenagers. Welcome, Daniel.
Hey, thank you so much, Brett, for having me on the show.
Daniel, your new book from Tyndale House Publishers is Seven Traits of Effective Parenting. Beyond just being really good content, what I like about it is the way it is organized to be incredibly practical and engaging. There are key takeaways, activities, bullet points, and visuals. Nicely done.
Thank you so much, Brad. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was very intentional. We, as you know, at Focus on the Family, we love parents. We love marriage. And we want to come alongside of parents in very practical ways.
What do parents and children get out of this book?
Well, for parents, it's really a roadmap of knowing how to balance warmth and sensitivity in the home, and then balance it with high levels of boundaries, limits, putting some structure and some planning into parenting so that they take them towards a goal. And the goal for kids is to become contributors in God's kingdom rather than consumers. And that's really being able to be noticers of people, builders in other people's lives and in God's kingdom, and connectors as well to what God's plan is for themselves moving forward and really gaining an identity in Christ rather than a shaky identity in other things. So this gives parents an opportunity for transformation in themselves and to influence transformation in their kids.
What are the seven traits of effective parenting, and how does it help parents to navigate and transform family life?
Well, the seven traits, the first one, I ask parents to start with adaptability, because that's right from the beginning of parenting. You're adapting to some new things that you weren't expecting and learning how to manage your own stress. And then it moves into respect and how you handle you in order to relate well with others in your home, and then intentionality, getting a focus on where you're headed as a parent, and then steadfast love, developing a foundation that is unshakable in your love within the home, and modeling that steadfast love that God talks about, that's immovable and unchanging, and then that sets the tone for boundaries. That's the next in boundaries on ourselves as parents. Being able to model that and show that that's freeing rather than a bad thing. And then boundaries in kids' lives with rules and then with decisions of what they're going to be involved in. And then grace and forgiveness, which is, man, grace and forgiveness are amazing because they're the glue within the home. It renews spiritual safety and emotional safety in the home, rather than just the obsession we have right now, which is physical safety. It brings back what the inside of our souls need, which is that regaining compassionate perspective and connection in the home. And then the seventh trait is gratitude. And all throughout Scripture, God talks about gratitude and thankfulness and ends many things for us on the new self and other areas of our development with gratitude, that we do things with thankfulness, and that really rounds out what it means to be transformed by God's Spirit and God's leading. And that's a reset of the mind, the gratitude, and being able to see that as a parent. We get to see things through God's eyes instead of moments of emotions and stress and frustration. It's really gratitude for what you've got.
Well, those seven traits surely do give a well-rounded perspective for families. Let's talk about the practical exercises in the book. Faith and Fitness Magazine readers are certainly all about exercise. Talk about how exercising present exercising parenting and family skills improves parenting strengths and leads to a daily lifestyle approach to a stronger family?
Well, exercise, the physicality of parenting is interesting to me. The physical presence of a parent is pretty magnificent. You know, you can text, you can do different things, but the physicality of being there, but then the interaction within the family physically of doing exercise together. We did that during the quarantine time. Early on, we would take breaks and do some exercise together and talk about the maintaining of that, and then just some awareness for them. You know, how does it make you feel once you're done exercising physically? And then we talk about the development spiritually and emotionally. It opens up the different fitnesses that we've got, and we've got different dimensions of us as a person, that we have a physical body that's been given to us, and we exercise that, we feed it well, we sleep well, so that we do things well and have the most energy possible to do those things. But and then there's physical connectedness, and we do some people like more touch than others, right? And that's a connectedness that we can experience as families. But then there's also emotional fitness, learning how to handle our emotions, and that can be a physical thing because that's our brain, and it's having to deal with emotions as they come up, and that's an exercise of the brain. Then we have spiritual fitness, where you develop some goals and some development of your soul. That's the internal side of who you are, the depths of who you are. And then you have relational fitness, learning how to be present with others, how to listen. That's a very physical thing as well. And then you have the mental fitness, where you have school, you're learning things, and that's an organ, a muscle that you're also developing and growing. So it's not just about biceps and calves and abs. It's really about developing a healthy, well-rounded person in all areas of our fitness.
Yeah, and just a follow-up to that, the whole concept of just exercising, and in other words, taking what you learn and practicing it, you know, because you guys have exercises in the book that don't really have anything to do with physical fitness at all, but
they
have the practice. It's the exercise of doing those traits to then become stronger. Talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah, the exercises that are all throughout the book are intentionally placed in different spots in the book for you to practice and develop habits in your home where you're able to practice the seven traits. They're able to come out and in very practical ways. One of them that we love here in our house is doing the chalk markers. I talk about that in the book. Intentionally writing truths to one another in the mirror, and you write the truth about that person with a circle where they're going to look at themselves in the mirror. Many of our lives, and especially kids' lives, come through the mirror, and we want to bring truth into the kids' minds. And so it's exercises like that that give the opportunity for connectedness and conversation in your home, and you practice and exercise on a daily basis the seven traits, because you're going to have imperfect days, days where the seven traits just don't flow well, don't flow naturally. But then we have a sunset and a sunrise. We have grace and forgiveness, and you start over, and you build off of those successes to develop relationship in your home. So those are those exercises to make it more natural and commonplace in your home.
And the more you repeat that, the more natural or the stronger it becomes. What?
Yeah, the more in your response when you're in an emotional state where you're reacting to something, it more naturally comes out that you are practicing each of the seven traits, and so it becomes more of your everyday routine. It's not something at some point that you have to actually think about. It just becomes part of your parenting, and that's what we're wanting to do, that there's a biblical foundation to these seven traits that are transforming you, so it naturally comes out. And then also just having you learn how to connect and be effective in your parenting and in your communication and influence of your children. We don't have control over what they choose to do later on or as adults. Their successes and failures aren't ours, but we do get the opportunity to influence in amazing ways and in the most significant ways in a child's life.
I want to go back to your bio for a moment. I really like that it says you have a passion to equip parents to disciple and mentor the next generation so that they can thrive in Christ. This really dials in closely to not only an attitude, but a commitment that so many of our readers have. They're very next generation minded, and they're fully vested in going way beyond serving with a total commitment to thriving. Speak to why you feel a next generation focus is so important and just how thriving is such a dynamic part of the Christian faith.
Well, the next generation is really our future. And so we have to pay attention to how we're developing some foundational principles and character traits and developing a love for Christ, because that next generation is the one that will be influencing society and become the next leaders of the generations to come. And so if we have that mindset, that's something biblically in Deuteronomy 6 that God talks about, that our responsibility as parents is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might. And then Jesus added mind to that in the New Testament. And then you look at what he says after, and he says to teach so that you influence, teach in everything you do, teach about God's principles, about his rules, about his love to the next generation and the generation to come after that. And that's just to show that steadfastness in your family and to provide the most significant gift to the next generations. It makes a big difference, especially in a culture right now that's having a difficult time thriving. There's a lot of people are just surviving, and it's really the opportunity to thrive and to see life through a lens of mission, a lens of a vision within the opportunity to contribute to a large kingdom, to a kingdom that God is bringing, and we get to play a part in that. We're masterpieces of his creation, created to do great things in Christ Jesus that he prepared for us. And so it's about thriving in our life. Right now there's a mental health crisis among the youth where they're not seeing hope. They're struggling with despair. There's anxiety and depression. Those numbers have gone up. It's surprising. It's close to 20%, more than 20% since 2007 as far as anxiety disorders, and then depression is going up. And so this is about creating an opportunity to thrive in our homes and for children to thrive in their lives.
And the concept of thriving, you know, okay, it's going to help children to be less likely to be depressed, things like that. But is there a actual positive, even a more positive side to it? How does it help them to excel and to drive forward their faith?
Yeah, they're able to see other people through a lens of wanting the best for them. They get to experience love at the depth of what God created love to be, which is transforming and sacrificial. Through serving others, we get to learn about ourselves, but feel a sense of purpose, of worth, of belonging. The three core needs in kids' lives, those are belonging, worth, in a sense of competence. Those are three core needs that research has shown us. And so that's a way for kids to experience that and to experience God's spirit inside of them. That's the part of thriving where they find joy instead of searching for happiness. They have that internal happiness that comes regardless of what's outside.
I understand you run with your daughter and play ball with your son.
Oh, yeah.
Describe how that shapes your interactions, relationships, and faith in Christ.
Wow, I love doing activities with our kids. It gives an opportunity for me to stop my world, enter their world intentionally. And the kids remember those moments. We talk about them. We love to do a lot of different things together, lifting weights. We go on bike rides. I go running with my daughter, even though that hurts a lot and I can't breathe. I really enjoy going on the runs, because then at the end we walk together and talk about what's going on in her life, and she'll ask me questions now because I've shown her the interest in her life, and then she'll ask back some questions to me so that she can learn to be a contributor as well by wanting to learn about other people. And so we have a two-way conversation. And my son, he's also into woodworking, and I said, hey, son, teach me about that. I didn't learn about woodworking. I'd love to spend some time with you. Can you teach me what you're learning? And sometimes it's great to have our kids teach us things. They feel connected that way, right? That leadership, being able to teach you something is pretty special. Yeah.
Daniel, I think perhaps one of the most exciting parts to me of your book, Seven Traits of Effective Parenting, is the chapter titled Contributors, Encouragers, and Influencers. Before I share with you what got me excited about this chapter and ask you to build on that, I want to ask you to help listeners understand what made you decide to include this conversation in your book.
Yeah, we all have rolling credits in our lives, people that have influenced us, that have encouraged us along the way, that have contributed to who we are. And many times we don't pay attention to that. It's just our movie. And really, it's not just our movie. There have been people along the way that we need to acknowledge and think about how they've influenced us in very important ways and maybe possibly negative ways on the other side, and what that means to who we are today, especially as parents, as spouses. What are the important things I need to learn along the way that influence me, and what do I need to be thinking about from my past? Because our past, those rolling credits, are key to who we've had along the way and what we've learned about ourselves along the way.
I hear from Faith and Fitness magazine readers that they really embrace and commit to a key concept of faith-centered fitness, that being others-minded. While they know that it's good to be stronger, healthier, feel better, move more, and live longer, they know more importantly that their physical fitness and even the lifestyle of building that fitness must be mindful, engaging, and strengthening of others. That's why they invite a neighbor to join them to walks, do group exercise with a coworker, cook a healthy meal with another church family, or include a disabled member of their community in a recreational event or a competition. They do fitness with others. When I saw your chapter on contributors, encouragers, and influencers, my mind immediately started thinking about Faith and Fitness magazine families. Daniel, how can parents help their children grow beyond just having fun and being active to becoming contributors, encouragers, and influencers?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I always know that there are opposites to that. So there's either contributors, or you have consumers, or encouragers, or discouragers, and influencers, and distractors. First of all, help your kids begin to make a list of those types of people in their lives so that they can at least begin to develop an awareness of what does it mean to have somebody that's a contributor, somebody that gives of their time, their energy, their talents, their attention to them, maybe even money financially if they're going on a missions trip. And then who are the consumers? Who are others that do things for their own gain? They're selfish. They use them. And then encouragers, who's supportive with their words, discouragers, who tends to be critical in their lives, and then influencers, who's having a profound positive impact, and then the distractors, who's influencing them in a direction that is not helpful to them. Help them see that first, and then help them see life as a lot of invitations. We have invitations all day long. As parents, we have an invitation to be parents. As kids, they get an invitation to be kids. But then from there, there's little tiny invitations all along, and those are with people in our lives. As contributors, helping kids learn to be kind to serve others, not kind because you get something for yourself. Not using charm as a tool, but charm as a way to connect and be there, be present, have fun with someone else. Altruism and service for others, for the benefit of other people, rather than looking at what am I going to get in return. And so helping them see their own intentions. Why are you wanting to be kind to someone else? And for kids, it's natural that we want something in return. And so help them see beyond that and the beauty of being able to serve without expecting anything in return, just being able to give and love. And in research, there is consistent research that points to the fact that kids that learn this skill of being able to give and serve without expecting something in return are healthier emotionally, mentally, physically. And so this is helping kids see that this is actually beneficial in your life, because we've been wired from the beginning to learn to serve, and that's transforming to us. It's about loving to give to others, having empathy and developing that, and kids can develop and foster empathy from the age of 2. So help them learn to utilize empathy as a way to truly understand and care for someone else, not because they want to be loved or anything else, getting something in return, but truly caring about other people. And you can do that with movies. You can do that with their friends, as far as just looking at what does it feel like to be that person? What are you understanding about where they're at, and helping them see life from another person's perspective and experience? And then using that word, hey, how were you a contributor today? How were you a noticer of other people, the people that need God's love? How were you a builder with your words today? And help them reflect on that. Where did you get an opportunity to be a builder, and how can you continue to be a builder? And then how were you a connector to God's kingdom story? How did you connect and forgive others? And having them have that mindset as they go into school. I know that my kids have said in the past when we've gone to school when they were a little younger, and they still say this now, is, Dad, I was a noticer today. I noticed this kid in the lunchroom looked like he was all alone. No one else was noticing them. And that's what we would talk about before they'd go to school. Hey, make sure you're a noticer today and let me know how that goes. And as you discipline that, as you practice that with your kids, and you model that yourself, then what you begin to show is what it means to be a contributor in someone's life, and then being an encourager and an influencer. And it is a great goal to have in your home. You can put that up in your refrigerator and have it be a constant goal every single day.
Yeah. How do teens, even young children, discover a passion for being a physical and spiritual influence among their peers? If we can help these youth, help our children be contributors, encouragers, and influencers from an early age all the way into adulthood, how could that long-term lifestyle equip them to take contributing, encouraging, and influencing to a whole new level?
Yeah, the more natural it is, the more they see the beauty of how God has created that as an opportunity for us to love others. He says to love one another and to serve one another. He has one another's all over the scripture. And the earlier a child sees that, the more ingrained in their character, in their natural state of being it becomes. And as they become adults, they show a different type of marriage, a steadfast marriage. They show a different type of parenting, a steadfast, deep-rooted parenting in a home that is built on solid ground, because there's a true serving type of love, the one anothering in a home. Because if we enter marriage as consumers, you trade it in, right? When it's not feeling right. And if you enter parenting as a consumer, it's going to eat you alive, because there's so much sacrifice and so many moments of difficulty there. And so this helps from an early age. You begin to see a transformation, and in their work, in their relationships, there's a big difference.
I really appreciate your time today. One more question. In this issue, we're discussing what it means to be consumed and how our human obsessions are totally counter to having extreme passion for Christ. How do families shift from being consumed with things like busyness or frustration to being consumed with vision and a desire to live exceptionally for God's purpose?
You know, for some families, they put pause buttons all over their home. I know some of the homes I've counseled, there's some moms that have been super creative, and one mom said, I put pause buttons in my car, all over our house, pausing to recognize God's presence in the little things and all throughout the day. and pausing to figure out what's urgent and what's important, and how did those things become urgent? What are needs and what are wants in our home? And how do we get the wants in the right place and in the right order? If I want a great relationship with Christ, I'm probably going to have to say no to some things that I also want. And so I need to rank those and figure out which one is getting the most attention and why. Why is that more important to me? And as families, having family meetings and check-ins, you know, what's going well for us, what's not going well for us, and having moments of prayer together throughout the week, setting the tone for those conversations and reading scripture out loud are key. And in fact, at Focus on the Family, we have Bring Your Bible to School Day coming up October 1st, and it gives an opportunity for kids to stand for their faith and to say, hey, I love God. And from there, we're having daily habits, daily patterns that families can take on in their monthly challenges all throughout the year to the next Bring Your Bible to School Day. And that's a way when you engage as a parent and lead that and maybe have your kids begin to lead those habits in your home, things begin to shift naturally where you're able to say no to things so that you say yes to other things. And in this case, it's prayer and conversation with God, having time in the Word, and knowing that that's what's going to open up more time for us, because it's going to give us clarity as to what we need to focus on and what we need to let go of in the way God has designed us and what He has planned for us. So as parents, you have great opportunity to bring leadership and model a conversational relationship with God through prayer, and then the importance of God's Word. And we've at Focus on the Family want to make that easy for you and very practical, and that's through that Bring Your Bible to School. That's a great start. And then from there, taking the monthly challenges.
Well, Daniel, you've loaded this conversation with some powerful insights and advice for our families. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, Brad. I appreciate the opportunity and the invitation to be with you today.
Be sure to get Daniel Huerta's book, 7 Traits of Effective Parenting. And for more faith and fitness content, especially for families, go to the Family Fitness Department of Faith and Fitness Magazine. This is Brad Bloom. Thank you for listening.